We're going to read through verse 7, and then we'll skip down to verse number 19 and read through the end of the chapter. So I want you to please pay attention. Ruth chapter 1, verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Now I want you to skip down to verse 19. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. That's Naomi and Ruth. Between verse number 7 and verse number 19, Orpah decided that she would stay in the land of Moab. So verse 19, Naomi and Ruth went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for another opportunity to be here. I thank you for each person that's present. Thank you for getting us here safely. Pray you continue to keep us safe while we're here, as safe as we travel home. And Lord, I pray, as I do all the time, that in these next few moments you'd help us to be able to focus our attention on the Word of God. That's what's important right now. That's what matters. That's where our mind needs to be focused. And I pray that you'd help us to be able to concentrate, to be free of distraction, to stay in the moment, to have ears to hear, hearts to receive what you have for us. And Lord, I pray as you speak to us and as you deal with us through your Holy Spirit and the preaching of the Word of God, that you would help us to respond accordingly. Whatever changes we need to make, whatever things we need to start doing, maybe that we're not doing, or stop that we are, Lord, I pray you'd give us the grace to do it, that we might be more of the people and more of the church you'd have us be. Lord, I ask for your grace as I preach. Help me to say what you won't say it. I pray for liberty, for clarity of thought and speech, that I can give your message to your people. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ruth is one of the two books in the Bible that bears the name of a woman. You have Ruth, and then you have Esther. And as you can see, Ruth is a very short book. It only has 4 chapters, 85 verses, 2,578 words. And this is the story of how a Gentile woman from the country of Moab came to be in the line and lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you see is that this lady, Ruth, was married and redeemed by a man named Boaz. Boaz in the book of Ruth is a type of Christ. He's the kinsman redeemer. He's the one that stepped up and did what he had to do in order to redeem Ruth for himself. So he's a type of Christ. That makes Ruth a type of the church. And I'm not talking here about a local church. I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ. Ruth is a type of the body of Christ. But after they are married, after Boaz and Ruth are married, they have a son named Obed. As you look over at the very end of this book, you find that Obed eventually begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David, and it's through that line that our Savior was born. So Ruth is a beautiful story of how this Gentile woman, this Moabitess, became a part of the most important and significant line of people in all of human history. But what I want to do this morning is use the first chapter of this book, this beautiful book, to preach a message titled Returning from Moab. Returning from Moab. And I want to begin by saying what you see here in chapter 1 is a Jewish family from Bethlehem, Judah, made the decision to go and sojourn in the land of Moab. They made the decision to leave their home and go to a land of Gentile people. In verse number 1, take a look there with me once again. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." In verse number 2, you have the names of the members of this family. In verse 2, it says, "And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and sojourned there." Now, Bethlehem, Judah is where they were from. That's what the scripture says. And Bethlehem, Judah, by definition, means house of bread and praise. House of bread and praise. What you have here, practically speaking, not doctrinally, but practically speaking, is a picture of a local church. Bethlehem, Judah is a picture of a local church. And so what you have here is a family getting out of a local church. When they make the decision to leave Bethlehem, Judah, and go to Moab, which is a type and a picture of the world, it represents a whole entire family deciding to leave the house of God and go out into the world. That's what you see as a type or picture. And what I want you to notice there in verses 3, 4, and 5 is that once they made this decision to get out of church and go to the world, things really went south in their lives. Take a look at what the Bible says again there in verse number 3. The Bible says, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died." So the first bad thing that happens once they leave the church is her husband dies. Elimelech dies. So now it's just Naomi left with her two sons. Her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, marry women that were Moabites. One marries Ruth, one marries Oprah Winfrey. Verse number 5, things get even worse. "And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." So whenever they make this decision to leave the house of God and go out into the world, into Moab, things take a downward turn. Bad things happen in their lives. Elimelech dies. The two boys dies. Here's the thing I want you to understand. I feel like most of you know this, but it's important to be reminded of this very simple but profound truth. Getting out of church will never make your life better. When you get out of church, I can promise you things are not going to get better in your life. They're only going to get worse. Now, I'm not saying that while you're in church, everything's going to be a bed of roses. Anybody with any sense knows that's not the case. If you look here at their life before they left church, the Bible says there was a famine in the land, right? So even while they're in church, there's some bad stuff going on. There's a famine. Things are hard. But look, when they decided, hey, things are bad around here, we're going to go to Moab, it didn't get better. It only got worse for them. And you may be in church, and you may be serving God and being faithful and stuff bad may be happening in your life, but I promise you the answer, the solution, is never for you to get out of church. Because if you get out of church, things ain't going to get better. That's not good English, is it? They ain't going to get better. You understand what I mean. They're going to get worse. Things will only go down, down, down the longer you're out. And this family, by the way, wound up, or some of them did, wound up being out for 10 years. That's what it says at the end of verse number 4. They went down to sojourn in the land of Moab. To sojourn is just go somewhere and stay for a little while. The intention was to just go down, kind of weather the storm. When the famine got better, go back. But they wound up being down there for 10 years. That's the way it is when you get out of church. It is always a heap sight easier to get out than it is to get back in. Once you get out of the habit of being faithful to the house of God, it becomes increasingly difficult the more time goes by for you to ever get back in church where you need to be. So the best thing to do, y'all still with me? Is stay in church. No matter how bad things get, no matter how bleak it gets, how bleak it looks, the best thing to do is stay in church, because as long as you're in church, you know at least in that area of your life, you are in the will of God, because that's what He wants. But they got out, stayed gone for 10 years. Here's some good news. I want to give you some good news. Eventually, Naomi does get back in church. She does not live the rest of her life down in Moab. Thank God she finally woke up and understood that she needed to go back to the house of bread and praise. Go back where she was supposed to be. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says in verse 6, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab." Look at verse 7. "Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was." She was in Moab, but she decided, "I'm not going to stay here any longer. I know I don't need to be here. I know where my home is at. I know where my heart is at. I know where God wants me to be, so I'm not going to spend any more time in Moab. I'm going to get back in church. I'm going to go back where I'm supposed to be." Look down at verse 19. The Bible says, "So they went, they too went until they came to Bethlehem." They get back to the house of God. Look at verse number 22. "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her," which, look at it, "returned out of the country of Moab." If you get out of church, okay, and it happens, doesn't it? There are people, I've seen it many, many times, you have as well, maybe you even been there. I know there was a time in my life when I got out of church and I wasn't going like I needed to be. It happens within a Christian's life sometimes. They get out of church. The good news is that if you get out, hear me now, if you live, you can get back in. Now, why did I say if you live? Because Elimelech and the two boys didn't make it back, did they? And here's what you need to get in your mind. There is no guarantee anytime you ever step out of the will of God that you're going to live long enough to get back in the will of God. You need to hear that. Because people, they look at church in kind of a flippant way. You know, they get out, they act like it really ain't that big of a deal. It's not really that big of a deal with God. But let me tell you something, being faithful to church is a real big deal with God. It's not just a big deal with us preachers that want you to be here. It's a big deal with the Lord who wants you to be here. And whenever you step out and decide you're going to go out into the world, I'm telling you, things are not going to go as good as you think they are in your mind. The devil's real good at deceiving people, making people think that the world is where it's at, where they need to be, that they'll find the answer to all their problems out in the world. But I promise you, it's never going to go well when you get out of church and get out in the world. And there is a high probability you may not live long enough to get back in church. The Lord can let something happen while you're out in Moab. Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? I'm talking to saved people this morning. I'm talking about people who are lost. I'm talking to saved people. Wouldn't it be a horrible thing to die out in Moab and have to meet God knowing that you died out of church and out of His will? Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? A shameful, humiliating thing to stand at the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ before the one that bled and died for you and have to hang your head in embarrassment knowing that you died out of his will living in Moab. And it could happen. But listen to me. If you get out and God is merciful to you, I look at my life. I got out. God was merciful to me. I don't take that for granted. You hear what I'm telling you? I could have died at any second. I have friends that are dead right now. They never did make it back. They never did have a chance. Why did I get to get back in? It's the mercy of God. That's why I got back in. If you ever got out and you got back in, you got something to be grateful for this morning. You should be thankful for the mercy he showed you that while you were in Moab, he didn't take your life. He gave you a chance to get back in. The Lord did that for me. He did that for Naomi. Now her husband and boys died, but he was merciful to Naomi. He let her live long enough to come to her senses and realize, hey, I need to get back in church where I belong. And thank God she went back. Amen. Listen, what I want to do here this morning, I want to use this first chapter here to show you some things that I believe will help people who are out of church get back in. You say, well, this really doesn't apply to me because I'm in church. This message is all for you. If you're here today in church, listen, this message is not for people that are out. It's for those that are in so we can do what we need to help those people that are out get where we are today. So don't think this message doesn't apply to you. This message is all for you. If you saved and you in church, it's all for you. It's not for those out there. It's so me and you can learn what we need to learn to do what we can to maybe help some of these people that have gotten away get back in. And I'm pretty sure that most of us here this morning where we sit can think of somebody that was in church, but they're not there now. Maybe they were in this church, but they're not here now. Maybe they were in another church, and they're not there now. But they're out in Moab. They're out in the world. Well, this is a message that will help us, I believe, help them. Number one, let me say this. One thing that helped Naomi make up her mind to get back in church is that she was found where she was at. She was found where she was at. Look at this right here. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. She makes up her mind, I've lived here too long. It's time to go back home. But why did she make up her mind to do that? Why did she decide to leave Moab and go back to church? Well, the Bible says, look at it, for. That's a conjunction. It's a conjunction that means because. So what it says at the end of the verse explains what it says in the beginning of the verse. Well, so why did she get up and decide to go back and return from the country of Moab? For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. You know what ultimately helped her make up her mind? Somebody, I don't know who it was, because it doesn't say in the text. But this is what it does say. It says she heard that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. You know what that means? That means somebody talked to Naomi and said, look, things are looking up back down there at the church house. I know it got rough at one point while you were there and you decided that you needed to leave, but hey, things are looking up down there now. The Lord has visited his people. He's given them some bread. You don't have to stay away any longer. Come on back. Somebody got her a message. Again, I don't know who it was, but somebody there in Moab gave her the good news of what God had done back in the house of the Lord. That means that she was found there in Moab. You know one thing that'll help a lot of people that are out of church this morning? One thing that'll help a lot of them to make up their mind to get back where they know they need to be. And listen to me, there's people out of church right now, they're saved people, and they know they're not where they need to be. I can think back to my life when I wasn't in church. The entire time that I was out of church doing the things I was doing, I always knew deep down inside of me I was not where I belonged. I knew it. The Holy Spirit constantly reminded me that I was out of God's will, that I was not supposed to be out in that world doing that stuff, and He constantly dealt with me about it. And there's people out there right now that are in that same condition. They got out. They made a bad decision to get out, and some of them been out a long time. They've been out a long time, and inside of them, they know they're not where they need to be. They know that they need to be in church. And you know something that'll help them get over that hump? It's when us folk that are still in church go where those people are at and try to get them to come back to the house of God. We need to find those people where they are. Reach out to them. Listen, when you look around this church right here and you see somebody that was coming and they quit coming and they're not back for a long time, don't just assume that Brother Keith is going to get in contact with them people. How about you getting in contact with them yourself? Don't just ask me all the time, well, have you got up with so-and-so? The question I have is, have you got up with so-and-so? When was the last time you called them? When was the last time you checked on them? When was the last time you went and knocked on their door and said, hey, we've been missing you down at the house of God? You know, that may just be what turns a tide for them. Just to know there's some people in this church that care enough that we'll go where they are. I'm not talking about going out there and getting involved in what they're doing. I'm talking about going out in that world. Didn't Jesus Christ say to His disciples, go ye into all the world? He didn't say stay huddled up inside your churches. Right. Now, church is important. We need to be here. That's what we're talking about. But we come to church not so we can spend the rest of our lives in here, not so we can spend every waking moment inside the four walls of this building. We come here to get charged up and get what we need so we can go back out and help people that are not where they need to be. And I tell you, a lot of folks just waiting on us. Just waiting on us. I realize we can't make them come. I cannot make anybody come to church. If I could, we'd already had to build a bigger sanctuary than the one we're in today, okay? I can't make anybody come. But you know what I can do? I can let people know I care enough to go where they are and invite them to come to church. Just a simple question. And this applies whether you're talking about somebody that's out or never has been to start with. How often do you invite people to come to our church? When was the last time you said, hey, would you like to come down to New Hope Baptist? Meet with us. Look around this morning. We got plenty of room, don't we? It ain't like we're busting at the seams. There's plenty of room. We need to be out looking for people, searching for them, especially people we know that were in and now are out. We need to seek them until we find them where they are in Moab. That's our job. That's our responsibility to reach out. I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't just come and expect people to gravitate toward Him. You know what He did? The Bible says He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He even talks in the New Testament about our responsibility to go out and find people. Doesn't the Bible say, the Lord Jesus say, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled? Isn't He the one that said that? You know what that means? He wants a full house. That's what it means. How often are you going out and compelling people to come in or to get back in? How often are you doing that? Told parables about it. I think about Luke chapter 15. There's three parables in that chapter. The one we're most familiar with is the parable of the prodigal son. But there's two before that. There's one about some lost, or about a lost sheep, and one about a piece of lost silver. Go home and read those two parables. Talks about a man that had 100 sheep, but one of them got lost. And you know what that one did? He didn't just take the perspective, hey, I got 99 left, so I ain't going to worry about the one that's no longer with me. The Bible says that he left the 99 and went out into the wilderness, and he looked until he found that one lost sheep. And then he brought that sheep back on his shoulders, rejoicing that he had found that sheep. Same thing about that lost piece of silver. Woman had 10 pieces of silver. She lost one. Her perspective was not, hey, I got 9 left, so I'm doing all right. She swept the entire house, the Bible says, and looked and looked and looked until she found that one lost piece of silver. And then she rejoiced. If one person, hear me now, if we know of one person that was in church, and now they're out, and we don't try to get them back in, we are not doing what God expects us to do. We're to do what we can to find those people and bring them back in. This day of modern technology, we have so many ways. You can call people, you can text people. One thing we do here at this church that I'm very grateful for is send out those cards just to let people know we're thinking about them. That's a great ministry. We need to keep that up, amen? Keep sending it out, letting them know we're thinking about them. But I'm going to tell you, at the end of the day, nothing in the world beats a good old-fashioned visit. Face-to-face, sit down. Hey, we miss you at church. We don't know what all has happened. It ain't none of our business what all has happened. We just know you were there, you're not. We love you, we miss you, and we want you to come back and be with us. Go find them. That's our responsibility. That'll help some people. That'll help. Now, some it won't. Some you'll go and you'll beg and beg, and they'll never come back. I realize that. I know whereof I speak, brethren, because there's some people I've asked, and I've asked, and I've asked, and they're still not in. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep doing what I can. Find them. Here's a second thing that I think will help some people get back in church where they need to be. Not only was Naomi found, but Naomi heard that there was some food back in church. She heard that. There was some food. You know what food does normally, don't you? Food will usually draw a crowd, won't it? That's not really what I'm talking about here. And I've seen this many times through the years. People have come to church when you're having a cooking when they won't come any other time. And some people get mad and put out about that. It doesn't bother me a bit in the world. I've made jokes about it and cracked about it, and people got mad with me and put out. I meant nothing bad by it. I'm just joking around. Hey, it doesn't bother me that some people only come when there's food. Because I'm gonna tell you why it doesn't bother me. The night that I got saved, they were serving pizza at the church. And before God Almighty, I promise you, I did not go to church to get saved that night. I went with a completely wrong motive, but the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart, and I got saved that night before I left church. So, hey, say they don't show up, but every time we have something to eat, let them show up. That's the way I feel about it. Let them show up. Let them come. Maybe the Lord will get a hold of their heart on one of those occasions when they show up for the wrong reason, and maybe they'll get their heart right with Him. Just let them come. But that's not the kind of food I'm talking about. Verse number 6, the Bible says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. That's the message she got. Hey, ate some food back there at the house. And go back home now. The famine's over. I don't have to keep living down here. I can go back where I left, where I know I need to be, and I can get fed. I can get what I need there. You know something I think that will help some people, not going to help everybody, but to help some people, is just knowing there's something to eat when they come to church. And I ain't talking about that kind of stuff we have over in the fellowship hall. I'm talking about what comes out from behind this pulpit right here. You know one reason why some people got out of church to start with? Same reason this family right here left Bethlehem, Judah to start with. Why'd they leave? The famine. Getting hard to find something to eat, and they got tired of it. So they said, we're going to go somewhere else. I'm going to tell you something about hungry people. They're going to look for food, ain't they? You do it. You get hungry enough, you're going to go looking for some food. And if push come to shove, you'll drive long distances to find it, won't you? Think about the times in your life you've drove for hours to go to a restaurant somewhere to get you something to eat. You know what I'm talking about? When people are hungry, they're going to look for food. And if people are not getting the food they need in church, they're going to look for food. And the devil is going to convince them that what they need to help them is out in the world. And they're going to leave the church and they're going to go to the world to try to find something to satisfy the hunger that they have inside. That's why it is so important that me and any other preacher do what God calls a preacher to do, and that's feed the flock of God. God did not call me to entertain you. He did not call me to pacify you. He did not call me to tell you what you want to hear. He called me to feed the flock. And if I don't do my job, then number one, I'm going to have to answer to God for that. And number two, it's going to drive people out of church. People are going to come hungry, and if they don't get filled up. Listen, I don't know about you, but if I'm hungry and I go to a restaurant and I really enjoy that meal, I start making plans right then to go back to that place somewhere down the line. Y'all ever do that? And not only that, but you know what else I do? I tell everybody else how good it was. I brag on it. I tell them, man, we went last weekend to such and such. We ate there some of the best food I ever had in my life. I'm going back. You ought to go there and try it yourself. Man, that food's good down there. That's the way it ought to be in church, isn't it? People come, they ought to get fed. They ought to get a blessing from it. They ought to hear something from the Bible that nourishes them spiritually. And listen, even if you're in church and you're not out, if you come and you get a blessing out of it, you know what you ought to be doing? You ought to be out telling people about it. Hadn't you? I mean, you tell me on the way out, I appreciate the message. Thank you for that. I enjoyed it, Brother Keith. That's a good message. Touched my heart, all that, and I appreciate that. But I'd rather you tell me nothing and tell the people that are out what you tell me. Because I can tell you right now, I've been in this a long time. You people will grow a church before I ever will. I promise you that. There are people, a preacher can go talk to them again and again and again, and it makes no difference whatsoever because they just think that's the responsibility of a preacher. But when their friends start bragging about their church and what they're being fed and how good it is, you know what that'll do? It'll pique their interest and they'll want to come. And here's how I feel about this now. Y'all don't get mad with me. I love you. Y'all know it. I'm telling you. If you don't enjoy what you're getting here, here's my question for you. Why are you here? If you think you're better served somewhere else, take a hack, man. Go somewhere. I would not continue to go to a place where I wasn't getting fed. If I'm not giving you the spiritual nourishment you need, go find somewhere that will give you what you need. Don't stay here and let me starve you to death. But if you're coming and God's feeding you, you ought to be out talking to people that are not in church anymore saying, hey, we got a pastor that preaches from the Bible. He'll feed you something if you'll show up. And you know what might just happen? They might just take you up on that. If you're not excited about your church and what you're being fed, nobody else is going to be excited about it probably. Food. I'm going to do my best. Why I said the other week we had that vote, I am not going to stop preaching the truth for nobody. Because I am responsible to feed this congregation the Word of God, and that's what I'm going to give them. And the reason I want to do that is so when people come here, they can get what they need and get fed. Number three, let me move on and give you this one. Look down in verse number 19 with me just a minute. Verse number 19. She was found. She heard there was food. And then I want to show you this. When she got back home, there was friendliness. Friendliness. Look at verse 19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, look at this now, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? The reason they said, is this Naomi, was not to be ugly, but what it shows is that her 10 years away from church showed up on her. Sin will show up on you, friend. You get out in sin, get out in the world, it'll show up on you. And she looked so rough when she got back home after that 10 years of being out of church, they couldn't even hardly recognize her. But you see what the Bible says? When they heard Naomi was coming back, you know what the whole city did? The whole city came out to meet her. You know what that is? That's friendliness. That's what I believe. I believe when people are out of church and we're talking to them, we ought to be friendly. We ought to be friendly to them. When you're talking to them outside of this place, you ought to be friendly. But not only that, if they come back to church, when they come in to the church, is everything all right? Okay. Let's bow our head right now. Brother Vic, will you pray for them? I don't know what that situation is, but let's just pray that that'll be all right. Amen. But friendliness goes a long way. When somebody comes in that's been out, and maybe that doesn't happen all that often around here, but occasionally, if somebody comes in that's been out, you know what I think this whole church ought to do? We ought to go to them one by one and let them know just how glad we are that they decided to come back to the house of God. Just greet them with friendliness. Don't go to asking them 5,000 questions, for goodness sake. Where you been? What's been going on? And all. That's none of your business, really, okay? That's none of your business. What should matter is that they have decided to come back to church. We ought to be happy that they made, for whatever reason, they made that decision to come back to church. We ought to be happy about that. And we ought to let them know. Just a friendly handshake, a friendly neck hug. Just say, look, we're just glad you're here today. Just be as friendly as you possibly can with them. I think that's a great thing that'll help them to say, you know, I made the right decision to come back to church. Just be friendly with people. I understand that some people are more outgoing than others. The terminology is extrovert versus introvert. I realize that. Okay. So it's harder for some people to approach somebody and speak to them than it is for others, right? Some people, it just comes naturally. I mean, they don't meet a stranger. I live with one right down there. Don't meet a stranger. They'll talk to anybody. I'm serious. They have no problem. They'll just walk right up to them. Some people are not like that, though. Some people, it's really hard. It's really hard. It's just not their nature, and it's hard for them to go up to somebody and just speak to them and have a conversation with them. It's going to surprise you, but I promise you it is the truth. I am an introvert. All my entire life, I have struggled with just walking up to people and starting a conversation with them. That's just not in my nature. I do it, but it's not what I like to do. That's just the way it is. But you know what? I have understood that it's not about pacifying me, okay? And even though it's a challenge, even though it's hard for me, I make it a point to go to folk and speak to them and let them know that I care and let them know that I'm glad that they're here. And everybody in the church ought to be that way. Don't let somebody, I'm just going to issue a challenge. If somebody comes in here, don't let them leave this building before you speak to them. You go to them and let them know that you're glad they came to church. Be friendly. I got to give you one more and I'll be done. She was found. She was told about food. She was met with friendliness. And I want to say last of all, she was met with forgiveness. Forgiveness. Now, this is why I say this. Look at verse number 20. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. You know what Mara means? Mara means bitterness. That's what it means. They said, is this Naomi? She said, don't call me that. Call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter. What she says is, don't call me Naomi. Just call me bitter. Just call me that. I challenge you to do something. You go home this afternoon and read chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. And you know what you're not going to find? You're not going to find one place where anybody in that town ever called her Mara. They called her Naomi. That's what they called her. You know what that means? They didn't hold none of that against her. They didn't constantly dangle that in front of her to remind her of the horrible mistake that she made in her life when she left and got out of the will of God. They forgave her and welcomed her back into the town. Listen, when people get out, they come in, they may have tattoos from head to toe, be buck teeth, no teeth, just, I mean, all messed up. I'm telling you, I'm not making light. I mean, just cause the world will mess you up, friend. You stay out in the world, it'll mess you up. They may be the worst horrible looking thing you ever seen in your life. You better not open your mouth about that. You know why you don't need to open your mouth? Because number one, were it not for God's grace, you'd be in the same shape or worse yourself. But for the grace of God, there go I. Amen. The only reason you're not messed up like that is God's grace in your life. Another reason is you were probably out at some point in your life and people welcomed you back and forgave you, didn't they? They opened their arms and they brought you in and they didn't ask you 50 questions about why you messed your life up. They just forgave you and they've never said anything else to you about it. They've never brought it up. They've never mentioned it. It's not your place to bring it up. It's not your place to mention it. Hey, that's between them and the Lord. Amen. That's none of your business. Just forgive them. Let them come back, because there was a time when somebody did that for you. And most of all, if God can forgive somebody, and he can, amen, why can't I? I don't need to hold it over them. Just welcome them back in. You know what I found? I found that some people get out, I'm telling you, I've talked to them, and they don't come back because they're ashamed. It's not that they just hate God and hate the church. They're out there in the world right now and they know they're not where they need to be, but they're so ashamed of what they did and how they've messed up their life, and they feel like if they come back to church, they're going to be met with condemnation. And there may be some places where that happens. I don't want this to be one of those places where people that come back after messing up their life are met with condemnation. It's not my place to condemn them for what they did. It's my place to forgive them and welcome them back so they can get things right in their heart with the Lord. That might just help somebody leave Moab and stay in church where they belong. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, we come to you again this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for all your goodness and mercy. Thank you for the great grace that you've shown us in our lives already. There's many a person sitting in this building here today that was out of church at one time, but they're back in because of your mercy and grace. We praise you for that. Thank you for sparing our lives and our foolishness and our sin. For all that time we spent in the world and gave us a chance to get back in church. Thank you for that, Lord. Help us now, Lord, to look for people that are out, to find them, to do anything we can to help them get back in. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.